This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution of One McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Atlantis Paradise Island, Y Cares Fashion Center, The Alley Go App, Wendy's, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. It's so very good to have you with us. So today, I want to do something that I had planned to do previously, but I wanted to be able to air it out with all of you and have you participate in this conversation, okay? And we've touched on these themes before, but I wanted to kind of focus it if I could and try to figure some things out. In terms of figuring some things out, I don't mean to provide solutions necessarily to things, but to kind of identify at least where we are and who we are. And that's the essence of what I wanted to talk about today, is understanding who we are. This recently, we had this conversation about Christopher Columbus, and we talked about our history and our colonial past and all this stuff like that. And it raises several questions in terms of who are we really, where are we going, and who do we see ourselves as being, right? So first, we kind of got to establish where we came from in order to understand who we are and how we got here. So I want to do an exercise with you where we try to identify what about us as human beings makes us Bahamian. I was born in Princess Margaret Hospital in 1976, 3 years after independence. My mother was born in the Bahamas. My father was born in the Bahamas. Their parents were born in the Bahamas. It was a colony then. But there's an unbroken line of Bahamians tracing back generations. All right. So there's no question that on paper, according to every rule and law that we have, I am a Bahamian, all right? Constitution says, if my daddy's a Bahamian, all right? And my mother's a Bahamian, and I'm born in the Bahamas, I'm a Bahamian. What does that mean, though? What does it mean to be a Bahamian other than I get a Bahamian passport and I get to access services that are for Bahamians and that certain principles in the Constitution and rules in the Constitution apply to me? What does it mean other than when I go away, I come back and they stamp my passport and they go, welcome home? What does it mean? All right? And to understand what it means to be a Bahamian, you have to kind of understand what we're talking about. So what I'm talking about is really not Bahamian citizenship, but Bahamian culture, all right? And people often think about this in a very esoteric manner when they're thinking about culture. Like, oh, you mean drawing and painting it? No, I'm not talking about that, you know? I'm talking about all the ideas, all the customs, all the behavior that says that we are Bahamian as a society, all right? Now, about the question with Columbus, let me say this. I'm going to take you back, but let me say this, okay? About the question of Columbus, I make no bones about my desire to see the statue gone and for it not to be there. Because here's what's true. History certainly informs your culture. But just because it does not mean you have to celebrate everything historically that happened. All right? And again, I said I'll take you back. Slavery informs our culture. The Bahamas' own form of Jim Crow forms our culture. But these are not things we celebrate. In fact, we celebrate the end of those things. We celebrate when those things were put to rest. So we don't celebrate, yeah, we don't go around going, let's build monuments to slave owners and all this stuff like that. We have a monument to a slave, Pompey, who was a rebel who caused a slave revolt. We celebrate that because we find the idea of slavery abhorrent. All right, every right-thinking human being. And so we celebrate the end of slavery. Okay? We celebrate the end of minority rule because it was an unjust and unfair system. So monuments are supposed to be built to honor people. And I never thought that we should honor Columbus's legacy. Should we acknowledge it? It's impossible not to. But we should be honest about what his legacy is, and I don't think it's something to be celebrated. So just because something happened historically doesn't mean that we have to hold on to that as part of our culture or our popular culture, all right? Because here's what's true. Your culture is often reflected by what you put into it, yes? But it's also reflective of what you leave and take out of it. Let me say that again. Your culture is often reflected in what you put into it, your ideas, your behavior, your customs. And your culture is often reflected by what you take out of it. All right? So old ideas, bad customs that we deem not to be good and part of what we should celebrate as a culture, we remove those. We don't say that they didn't happen, but we don't continue to celebrate it and make it a part of our popular culture. Okay? Now, societies start off, by the way, before you come tell me I need a subject matter expert, I have a bachelor's degree in sociology from the University of Oklahoma, so I've studied this, okay? So societies start off everywhere, humankind, okay? Started off, depending on what you want to believe about which at which point it started, okay? All societies started off with men and women, boys and girls. Now, we live in an age where you can decide you no longer want to have the sexual equipment of a man or a woman. You can change that, right? But what is true is that when you come out of the womb, however, you're a boy or a girl in the vast, vast, vast majority of circumstances, all right? In very, very, very few circumstances are you born with, like, indistinguishable organs or multiple organs that are functioning in any case. So society start with men and women. We got a call? That's fine. We can do it. Because I want to take you through this today, all right? I know you want me to talk about the politicians and this and that. We can talk about that because that's a part of our culture. All right? But I want us to kind of understand who we are as Bahamians. Someone says Bahamian culture is corruption. Okay, I don't understand what you're saying. Bahamian culture is corruption. That's respectfully a very short-sighted view of what I'm trying to talk about. So if you say to be a Bahamian is to be corrupt, then I completely disagree with you because I am a Bahamian and I am not corrupted. At least not politically. So, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Brother McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Everything good. You could let our boys know I grew up near that. I was born Bahamian.
Yes, good.
All my life. I even ain't never traveled in no other place. But now son, grow up and stuff that. But Mr. McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
This brother Wallace. Vincent Wallace.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Wallace? I'm gonna contact you today.
Huh?
I'm gonna try to contact you today. I've just been very busy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
but well, you have a comment on culture?
Hmm?
You have a comment on culture, the topic at hand?
Well, I mean, some people don't respect the culture, you know.
Right.
And our culture is so rich. I look at people, they just be worrying about the Jamaican culture and these other people's culture, but they don't know how rich their culture is. Our culture is more important to us than some people really think. Because if you look at our culture, you go to the United States. Watch when the people come over here. They don't want to know nothing but the States, you know. They want to know about our culture. They want to eat our food. They want to drink our sodas. They want to drink our water. They want to do everything what is Bahamian. But some Bahamian don't appreciate the culture. Just like the caller would just call you just now with a person on the text.
Agreed.
They don't respect the culture.
Yeah, if that's all that you think we are, then
exactly.
Then you haven't been paying attention.
Okay. McCartney. Brother McCartney.
Yes.
You go to the States. You speak Jamaican. They'll have a little laugh. But you speak in the Bahamian language? Man, listen to me. Every person in the United States, I understood. They want to learn how to talk the Bahamian language. They want to know that. They want to know that Bahamian slang. Watch when the tourists them come here and you're talking to them. I was a tall guy.
Agreed.
Trust me. They don't want to hear no kind of English unless it's the Bahamian English. So when I find people who don't respect their own culture, I don't think they respect God. That's how I look at it, Brother God.
I appreciate it, my brother.
But God give us we have a peculiar culture like none other. So, I hope people, Bahamians, will understand. We have a rich culture, man.
Absolutely.
We have a culture where people want to live and be with people out there in other parts of the world. They want to be a part of our culture.
Yep, I agree. Now, let me further explain, right? I want to try to figure out our Bahamian identity by exploring our cultural roots and our cultural ties. So let's reverse engineer it, right? What do we often say that a Bahamian is, right? We often say what a Bahamian is by expressing what a Bahamian is not, right? You heard, like, you know, indigenous Bahamian, all this sort of stuff, right? So we say Bahamians are not Caribbean. Right? But yes, we are. That we're not located in the Caribbean Sea in no way erases our deep, deep blood ties to other islands in the Caribbean and other populations in the Caribbean. There's just no way to do it. There's no way to unbake the influence of Jamaica, of Haiti, of Cuba, of other countries in the Caribbean, on the Bahamas and what the Bahamas is today. There's just no way to do it. So we often say being Bahamian is not Caribbean, but we are. All right? We often say Bahamian does not have anything to do with the British. But, as we've painstakingly explained, we're still calling the British monarch our head of state. So explain to me how that makes us not associated with the British. We say to our people, well, we're not African, right? The African and the Bahamian are two different things, when obviously we are of African descent, the vast majority of us. And the influence of African culture on Bahamian and Caribbean culture is unmistakable. And it just makes perfect sense, because a lot of the people came from Africa. And even for those who are of different nationalities who came here, different races who came here, they're still influenced by that African culture. We often say that we are not American. However, that's not the case either. Because our roots most strongly tie with British loyalists who came from America. We have American roots due to the contract. We have American roots due to World War II. We have American roots due to other historical issues. So part of being Bahamian has been influenced by America. A big part of it, particularly with popular culture today. Okay? We often say that we are not Haitian. Yes, true Bahamian, not a Haitian. If you know your history, and we'll try to go through some of it, we'll try to go through all of it today, but I don't know if I will be able to. If you look at our history, the Haitian Revolution irrevocably changed the course of the lives of everyone in the Bahamas along the lines of race. And I'll explain to you what I mean if I do have the opportunity today. The Haitian Revolution sparked a fear in the minority white populations in majority black countries, particularly in the Caribbean, that certain behavior would be repeated. And there's a long history we can trace of how that has impacted us in terms of the segregation rules, in terms of colorism, which I hope we can talk about today as well. It's not something that's isolated that just popped up because that's how we treat it. It's something that was handed down to us by the British. So Haiti has influenced us as well, as much as we don't want to talk about it. Even if we discount the fact that tens of thousands of people in the Bahamas have Haitian roots. So oftentimes we like to talk about what a Bahamian is by saying what a Bahamian isn't. But if you open your mind, you'd understand that who we are, our culture, has been influenced by so many other people. So let's go back. Societies start with men and women, boys and girls, all right? That's just how they start out. I don't want to get into no gender debate with you. And from that basic core of human sexual attraction and need for social interaction, we have built communities that are functioning in society, standing alone oftentimes, but oftentimes intersecting. All right? They intersect with each other. So religion intersects people of many races, people of different genders, people of different ages. For instance, sports intersects people from different backgrounds, from different countries. All right? Now, when you look at men and women, for reasons that are deeply rooted in history, we approach culture differently, if you think about it. Okay? We want to attend functions, yes, but we have culturally, historically, separated men and women into different roles and groups. Men dress differently than women. Why is that? Was there a rule book handed down? Did Moses come and say, hey, you guys got to dress like this and you guys got to dress like that? To a certain extent, you know, traditionally, they would dress a certain way. But men and women dress differently and they gravitate toward different things. And I've seen it firsthand with my children. All right? My daughter gravitates more toward how other women dress now, if that is maybe because she is seeing other women dress like that around her, that's how she thinks she should dress, then maybe that's what it is. But she's given the option, do you want to wear pants? No, I would like to wear a dress. She tells me all the time. All right? My son has no desire to wear dresses or do things that we would traditionally consider feminine. So men and women who form the basis of society grow culture first from their preferences of behavior. All right? Some people think that we've lost a culture of natural behavior between among men and women. Some people feel now that the roles have been so blurred and the lines have been so blurred that we no longer recognize real men and real women. I disagree. I think that, as I said, culture is what you put into it, but culture is also what you take out of it. So, for instance, a very big cultural stigma for a very long time was being an unwed mother. All right? No matter if you've grown or not. The church would frown upon it. A decent society, quote unquote, would frown upon it. And there's still a certain stigma attached today. But for the most part, as a culture, we've said we're going to take out the stigma of the single mother and accept into popular culture the fact that you can be a woman and not have a husband or a man or whatever and raise your child on your own. Is it more difficult? Yes, clearly. But it's something that we now accept as part of our culture. Now, you may believe that that is something that is wrong with our culture and that we've walked away from traditional families. But I think while we can deal with the fact that a lot of men and women have serious, deep relationship problems that need mending in this country, I think we should also be proud of the fact that so many women have raised children in this society when previously, many, many years ago, it would have been incredibly difficult and they would have suffered incredibly. Now, we could talk about birth rates among single women, et cetera, if you would like to. But we need to acknowledge that a lot of women have successfully raised kids on their own. Now, when we look at who we are, we often look at ourselves in a monolithic way in terms of we're Bahamian, we're black, all right? And a Bahamian is a black person. The Bahamian in this country, we often get the thing, oh, the Bahamian, the average Bahamian can't get along. What is the average Bahamian? And how does the average Bahamian distinguish themselves from all the other cultures that have influenced them? We got a call. Let's do a call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Glad you're talking away so long with you, Juan.
Hey, man.
Juan, have you ever, what's the word I want to use here? Have you ever look into the various family islands and see the difference of the cultures in which people live, how they live? That's my question to you. But I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
My comment is, right, I was born on Auckland's Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
I came here. I'm a senior now. I came here at the age of 8. I started school over there. And I got the rest of my schooling here in Nassau. And what I've noticed in the family in Auckland, right? They are snakes that are different. They are multicolored, to make it simple. The chickens are the same way. And if you were to bring one of those chickens that are in Auckland to Nassau and put them among any chicken, you will see that they are different. Like they're a different breed for their colors, right? Other thing is, right, I remember when people, like the man, was using for shoe the car tire with strings, right? The first time I was so violent is when I came to Nassau. The first time I was so stealing is when I came to Nassau. Okay? Now, what I discovered also living in Mason's tradition when we moved around here, a bunch of people, foreigners, was living around here from Jamaica. They came to join the police force. They were on the police force.
Correct.
And they were Barbadian.
Barbadian, Jamaican. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. Right? But our culture are very much mixed up with a lot of different people today. And that causes a problem. But you can still single out a Bahamian that, you know, they are different from the rest of people. You know what I'm saying? They eat different. I remember when Bahamians, just about everybody, on the weekend, you used to eat what you call goggle-eyed fish and peas and grits. That was a Bahamian dish.
You think fish and grits is Bahamian?
Yeah.
No, that's not the case. They eat fish and grits all over the Caribbean. And different parts of the world, too. And you know what? To his point, right? At one point in time, you could have said the Bahamians prefer XYZ, right? But we've been so influenced by other cultures that now you could look at it and say, this is Bahamian cuisine. Of course, you know, a lot of it has African and different countries' roots. You could look at it and say, this is Bahamian cuisine, but you would be mistaken to say that these things are uniquely Bahamian. That's not to diminish what Bahamians have done and have contributed, but in a lot of instances, the best cultures assimilate things from other cultures to make their culture stronger. All right? Now, we have changed cultures in different societies through intermingling. So if you look at the Bahamas, right, and you really look, you would see that we have different people from different societies coming here, changing the way we operate, again, changing the way we eat, changing the way we perhaps view the world. All right? And some people look at this as a bad thing, because some people look at it, well, it's erasure of what's Bahamian, but that's not really a thing that can happen. As I said, according to my constitution, my daddy's Bahamian, my mom's Bahamian, I'm born in the Bahamas, I'm a Bahamian. Okay? So that's, on paper, what a Bahamian will always be. Culturally, we got to figure out what we want to be as Bahamians. And then, if we figure that out, we can have a cultural revolution and understand what parts of our culture are not working for us and what parts of our culture work best. Again, we're not going to be a monolith, but we can at least figure this out if we understand ourselves better. All right? So, a culture, a society, can redefine itself. If we look at Barbados, Barbados is about to become a republic. And becoming a republic isn't going to do anything specifically monumental in Barbados. But Barbados will now be able to say, we are truly an independent state that swears to no foreign master. And that's a cultural shift in the life of Barbados. So cultures change. Cultures redefine themselves, right? Look at the legacy of Columbus. We once celebrated the day. Now we are saying that we changed the name of the day. And now we're saying that we no longer want monuments to the man. A lot of us are saying that. And I agree with the sentiment. And again, we could do away with all the trappings of all this stuff and change our culture even more radically. So all the trappings of the British, I'm fine with doing away with. I got no problem with it. Okay. Now, culture has ripple effects. Okay? For example, majority rule represented deep cultural change. You had a public system run by mainly British civil servants. They were weaned out of the system. You had a system of people who left. It was called white flight. When majority rule occurred, people were scared of what was going to happen. People were scared that the black people were going to take retribution after so many years of oppression. That didn't happen on any notable scale. Those who still owned most of the systems of wealth in the country retained them. But you did have a cultural shift in that. That population decreased. You had black people who were able to get middle-income jobs. They were able to buy those properties that the white people left. shift out of the area known as Over the Hill and bring about a cultural revolution in the Bahamas. Same with independence, all right? Deep cultural change with independence, all right? In one stroke of the clock, we stopped saluting the Union Jack. We had our own flag. We had our own national anthem. We stopped singing God Save the Queen, right? We were no longer British subjects. We became Bahamians. And it shifted our cultural identity in a significant and insane way, right? Insane being good, I think. If we look at the other things that can shift culture, they sometimes are often negative things. So the late 70s, the 80s, a lot of the 80s, we saw a drug culture arise that cannibalized a lot of the lives of a lot of young men and women. Whether to drug dealing, fast money, a desire to no longer pursue education that was so prevalent in the 70s among many of the young men. Many of the young men became addicts. There was a bad problem with cocaine and freebasing in the 80s. And in fact, watch this, it is believed that Bahamians freebasing in Miami led to Americans figuring out a different way to smoke cocaine, all right? And they think that that ultimately led to crack. Okay, so we changed their culture in a terrible, terrible way if we take any responsibility for it. I'm sorry, someone said the mic's popping. I don't know. Maybe that's an online thing. I'm not sure. So when we come back, I want to talk about how trauma has shaped our culture and what part that plays. And I'll take your calls, and I'll be happy to read your texts as well. Stay tuned.
J.S. Johnson Insurance. Best reliable service we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best, always, you'll always cover me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas at scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
BK NASA and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King NASA's 7 locations and enter to win online at BK242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
My Gateway is the centralized, safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. My Gateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and register today.
CG Atlantic Agents, how may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited, trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We are trying to determine our Bahamian identity. So beyond the paper, what does that mean in terms of our culture? And like I say, I'm not just talking about the arts. Your culture represents more than that. That's why I never, they keep saying Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture, but to them, culture appears to just be this kind of thing that is only, you know, voluntarily participatory, and they will look at some of that. So when they talk about culture, I'm questioning what they mean, right? You automatically go, well, that's Junkanoo and, you know, some art competition and all that. But really, who is documenting our culture? Who is explaining what Bahamian identity and Bahamian culture is? And I'm going to get into some aspects of trauma in culture, but I said I would take your calls. Because even though some very good things are celebrated as part of our culture, as I said earlier, some very bad things have shaped who we are, for better or worse. It wasn't our fault, but if we understand them, then we can speak to how to resolve them. And I don't know that we'll get through all this today, but it's a conversation I want to have beyond the obvious current affairs of the day. Because this is a problem that is deeply ingrained in just the fabric of the, not a problem, this is a an issue that is deeply ingrained within the fabric of Bahamian society. All right? With some having a greater claim to Bahamian identity than others. And we have to ask ourselves legitimately, is that really the case? 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 422-4796, 422-4796. So is Bahamian identity lineage then? Do you have to have a certain number of generations in the Bahamas, in the islands of the Bahamas, to be considered a Bahamian? Or is being a Bahamian just being a citizen and participating in Bahamian society? Let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello? Nope. All right. Call us back. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. This says, well, we put a racist on the $20 bill. Being on money as a monument, I'd rather Columbus than Stafford. I mean, we could move past Stafford Sands on the bill if we want. That's easy to do. But I agree, that is also a monument. It says, one, our culture isn't corrupt, but our systems make it easier to be corrupt than not to be. I think our culture is compliance. We adapt to make others comfortable. That's possibly part of it. It says, what soda company is Bahamian owned? Boy, I'm not sure any is. I don't think Aquapure stopped making sodas. It says, Bahamian culture is being subservient. I'm a born Bahamian too, sir. I'm just blatantly honest. And we do have a rich culture. For example, boat sailing is a rich pastime, but it was derived from slaves freeing their troubles, but we refuse to acknowledge our real heritage. Okay? Bahamian culture is being subservient. I mean, in what respect is it that Bahamians who work in the service industry are being subservient? Because that would comprise the vast, a great deal of people who employed around the world. It says, Juan, my daddy is a Bahamian hero because he was in World War II. I don't see any statues of those men anywhere. Yep, agreed. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, Brother Juan.
Hey, Bishop Paul, how's it going?
Peace to you, man. You are provocative. Look like your birthday gave you a shot of how to really get the conversation going. I commend you for your efforts to lift the level of national conversation.
Thank you.
First of all, you know, history, and I study a little bit of it, history, it's according to who write history. The bias the historian, as long as the historian writes the story, the lion always get killed. But if a lion could write, he could tell you how many there in the historian.
Yes, absolutely.
So history itself is shaped by who's writing it. And so, for me, being Bahamian means to look at what I am on paper in my constitution of the Bahamas and try to be the best that I can be according to that.
Correct.
Secondly, I have a Christian motif. I have a Christian mental brought up, see, and I try to do some things that are Christian. And so, for me, Columbus, you know, he did some good things, but he's a part of our history. That's the only point I want to make. He's a part of our history. Mm-hmm. But really, if you take that statue should be in Fox Hill Prison as a monument. You really can't adore that anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
We see history. We can't go back and change history. There were churches that were part of the slavery movement. There were churches that were part of the colonialism that sprinkled holy water on colonialism. So what are we going to do, close down the church? No. We have to learn the history and then move on. But we are growing, and your children and my grandchildren might make us to be a republic.
I agree. I think that we should move toward that direction. Thanks so much, Bishop Paul. I really appreciate you. We got another phone call. Let's do that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Nope. Okay. So, well, we only got a couple minutes left, so we'll deal with the trauma situation on the other side. We got a phone call. Let's take that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Juan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Turning my radio down. Juan, I just want to say to you, I had reported to you that the government hadn't paid for roads and park. I want to report that the government did pay for roads and park, okay?
Very good.
Juan, I'm still advocating for the BTC building down here on Thompson Boulevard. I'm hoping that the government would take some money and make that infectious disease institution, or what you call hospital. So we won't have the problem that we had before. Juan, let me tell you where most of the problem came from concerning COVID real quick.
I'm going to be honest with you. We're not talking COVID. Sir, hello? We're not talking COVID today.
Okay.
We're talking Bahamian cultural identity. We could do that a different day.
I got in a little late. I was late on the conversation, but thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I don't mean to cut you off. I don't want to veer off in a different direction. It says, Juan, thank you for this. I keep telling my Haitian friends that the way Bahamians speak, broken down English and not Creole, which comes from French. Yeah, ours is influenced by English. However, English is influenced by French and German and a bit of Spanish. Good afternoon. Welcome. And Greek or Latin. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this Mr. Juan McCartney?
Yes, it is.
Yes. How are you doing? A pleasant good day. First time caller.
Great. Thanks.
For the everyday listener.
Thank you.
Now, my problem with one of your statements and remark that you made about our Bahamian that went to United States of America and damaged our character by carrying free basin. It was never so. When our forefathers went to America, they went on the contract to pick oranges and fruits. Unfortunately, some of them was recruited on cotton, and some of them was recruited by United States to go and fight in their war. And when they were in Vietnam, that's when they occur with this free basin. So they carry the free basin from Vietnam back to Florida. Never was contributed back to their own country. A lot of them who still in Florida never came back home. Ain't no Bahamians left Nassau with the intentions to go free basin. because we never know what freebasing was. We did know what marijuana was because Bob Marley came here. But when they're talking about freebasing, we didn't contaminate Florida.
No, you're mistaken. Well, first, the contract happened in the 20s. The Vietnam War was in the late 60s, early 70s, so they wouldn't have recruited them straight from the contract to go fight in Vietnam. That's the first. The next thing I'm talking about is in the late 80s, early 90s, we had a freebasing epidemic in the Bahamas. That population, that ratio-wise, was the highest in the world.
No,
and the U.S. people and Bahamians going to the U.S. with cocaine and freebasing, a lot of people believe, including, you know, some Bahamian doctors.
I was born in 69,
mm-hmm.
and I traveled throughout the United States. Yes, drug trafficking has always been throughout our aisles, simply because of the negligence of our government. You remember when our late Sir Lyndon Oscar Pendleton went on the talk show with Diane Sawyer and told her, y'all get a big military, y'all can't stop drugs. How could we stop drugs?
No, agreed. I'm just, and thank you for calling, but I was just stating that we reportedly culturally impacted the United States of America and large populations of people in the United States of America from some things that happened in the Bahamas. And that's just a part of how history works. There's ripple effects, all right? And it could start from a small little pebble, like one Bahamian going to Liberty City and Freebasin and blossom from there, all right? Am I saying that we're responsible for the entire crack epidemic in the United States of America? No. I'm just saying that historically, the way that we were smoking cocaine, many people believe, likely led to different forms of smoking cocaine in the United States, which ultimately led to crack. Okay, we got to go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side. We'll deal with some more of your commentary, some more of your texts, and we're also going to try to explore trauma and its effects on culture. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Let's look at this text. It says, Juan, the contract continued well into the 50s and 60s. Yes. Yes. Yeah, you're right. It's plausible. It says, my dad was born in 38 and went out of the contracts in his early 20s. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I said the contract was the 20s. That's not right. The contract started... I want to say 42 or 43. It was before the end of World War II. If I recall correctly, the level of people being conscripted into the draft to fight the war greatly reduced farming, farmhand capacity in a lot of states. So a lot of Bahamians entered the contract. And I believe over 30,000 of them went to mainly Florida. Some went as far up as New York to farm, and it ended in 1965. The Vietnam War started in 1965, so it is indeed possible, Sir Hukald, I'll concede this point, that someone who was on the contract in the later years would have, someone who started the contract in the later years of the contract could have been recruited for the Vietnam War. Now, the issue with that is the older ones wouldn't have been recruited because I think 35 was the cutoff for particularly the draft for the Vietnam War. And 19 was the average age of the soldiers who fought the Vietnam War in the first years. So it's possible that some people on the contract could have fought in the Vietnam War. Yes, I will concede that. But that's not what I was referring to. I was referring to now you could say, and I'm not here to, you know, argue this point super fiercely, because again, there's been links in the chain, but no one has yet to point and say, this dude here, right, showed them how to freebase and smoke crack. But you could argue, hey, man, you know, it wasn't our cocaine. That's the first thing. So, and we don't grow no cocaine. We don't manufacture cocaine here. That's the first thing. And the second thing, you could say that somebody else came up with the technique. But the report is Bahamian's doing it. Taught people in inner city in Florida to do it. But yeah, you could have been on the contract and fought the Vietnam War. You're right. Absolutely. In the later years, that was a possibility. And the contract, again, was another cultural touchstone in the Bahamas, because not only did it allow a lot of Bahamians to make a living, even though they were in horrible Jim Crow conditions, and come back here when there was not a lot of work, and open businesses and buy land and XYZ, but it also deepened our ties to the U.S. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I know what you said, but that's an incorrect statement. That I think if it was the United States that published that the cocaine freebasing started here in the Bahamas.
Man, Joe Biden's talked about it, and they talked about it back in the 90s. David Allen talked about it.
In the United States in the early 80s, okay?
Yeah.
They started with the glass freebasing pipe and the little glass straight pipes. Here in the Bahamas, when I came back home, like in 84, 85, they were using the soda can and cutting the off the gallon bottle, cutting the plastic off the gallon bottle, okay? Freebasing was a major thing in Florida at the time. At the time, I was living in North Florida. So I'm telling you, especially in Jacksonville area, that been there long before they came to the Bahamas. You could do your research and find out. No matter what Joe Biden says, I was there. Okay?
Okay. So you're Thank saying you, that they were doing it before we were doing it. Now, your proximity to freebasing concerns me, but I'm not here to judge. People have different lived experiences. It says, good day, Juan. I believe that we as Bahamians are the most blended melting pot of North America, much like our nation, which is a pot of islands blended together. I think that's a good starting place. Nonetheless, I'm enjoying where your discourse is going. Bless. Thank you. It says, Juan, I was born in Nassau. If I do a DNA test and it reveals that I'm 1% Russian or Chinese, if that's a thing, I won't be surprised. Right now, I'm simply going as just human. Yes, correct. It says, what about baked macaroni? That recipe is unique to the Bahamas, but not a unique dish. They make baked macaroni all over. What are you saying? What's unique about our recipe? Like the sweet pepper and everything? No, man. Now we may have our little, you know, variation on the theme, but baked macaroni is a thing. A lot of places. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, everything good, man. You know, I listen to the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
I usually listen to you every day, right?
Thank you.
But I kind of confused. Is the topic right? Mm-hmm. Is it culture or lifestyle?
Those are both the same things.
Is the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, that one informs the other, you know what I mean? Your behavior. So okay. Culture is your behavior, your ideas, your customs. So lifestyle falls into that.
Okay, all right. But on another topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cocaine thing, right? Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. A lot of Americans came down here, and I get that shit.
Okay, but I hear you. Right. Yeah, okay.
I did that, right? And I can personally tell you about some of the superstars who went back to the state, who started doing that radio.
Wow. Yeah, like you I say, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that that's where it started, but, you know, I don't have no hard proof.
Yeah, but let me tell you something right now. Back in 82, when this thing quick shot,
mm-hmm.
we were down south, right?
Right.
I don't want to name no particular island, right?
Okay.
But we were down south, right? Mm-hmm. And we started to do that in 82.
Wow.
And you know where it came from? Colombia.
So
the guys brought it from Colombia.
The Colombians taught the Bahamians. The Colombians taught the Bahamians how to do it.
Well, yes. And that's who taught us how to do it.
The Colombians. Okay, all right, fair.
You know what I mean?
Fair. We can put it under the Colombians. I said we can put it under the Colombians. They shipped the coke. They made the coke. They taught people how to smoke it.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Right. So don't put that on us then.
No. But I'm saying, right? Uh-huh. You can put it on us for some of the Americans, because when they came down here, after we got taught how to do it, we taught them how to do it.
Right, right. Okay, I got you. Well, I'm glad you got away from that.
Yeah, man. I done solved that now for almost 25, 30 years.
Good. Excellent. Thanks for calling. Man. I appreciate you.
All okay. Right.
I think are we getting to the bottom of this? Says, hey, Juan, at least we pioneered something. I guess. Listen, I'm just telling you what I've been told. I've never smoked cocaine. I don't intend to ever in life. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Juan.
How's it going?
It's going great. I am so happy to chime in on this.
Great.
All of confusion that you have woven has intertwined with history and the culture of the Bahamas.
Gotcha.
First off, let me correct you on a coincidence of the drug trade.
Mm-hmm.
It is a well-known fact, and I could highlight a number of well-respected documentaries with sources
mm-hmm.
that can solidify and verify the point I'm about to make. It's historically accurate and correct. Prior to becoming cocaine, the process in making it in Colombia for years, it is turned into a paste before it goes to its final manufacturing process. And the local Amerindians and South Americans in the jungle would freebase that paste. This technology was adopted by the CIA and was used to infiltrate the black inner city communities in the United States, predominantly Compton and Watts, California, and a couple of high-rise, what they call housing projects in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it reverberated and spread back. You know, nobody travels more than Bahamians. So, yes, I saw Joe Biden when he gave that gaffe and talk about how the crack epidemic came from the Bahamas to the United States. That's garbage.
Well, here's what I'll say to
okay?
that. I do agree.
So you could understand the historical perspective.
I'm telling you, I agree with part of what you're saying in terms
yeah.
of.
There's nothing to agree with. It is what it is. It's documented.
No, but so, and at the same time, you have to acknowledge that there was freebasing in the Bahamas. Like, they didn't teach.
Yes,
the U.S. didn't teach us that.
But the point I want to clarify with you so that we don't get confused Bahamians who listen to your show and are thrown off by rhetoric and misinformation. It did not start in the Bahamas and spread to the United States. That's utter garbage.
But you just heard the call. Did you just hear the last caller?
Yes, I did.
So you're saying he's not telling the truth?
About what? Free Basin starting in Nassau and going into the United States?
He said they would bring, Americans would come down here to Free Base and take it back to the United States. And he said he was one of a person who would be free basing with the Americans and show them how to free base.
Listen, understand this. Let's be very clear about this, because this affects a part of how I grew up and where I grew up in this country. From the family island to inner city New Providence to now me being in my 50s.
Absolutely.
Okay? I lived the epidemic. It took us by storm. After having gone through that and being a student of history, you have to note and understand that this epidemic was racially geared towards a certain community. It was similar to what the British did with the opium wars in China for almost 100 years. So there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This experimentation with the crack form of cocaine started after the demise of disco, the Club 54 failures, and people moving away from the casual high of snorting or tooting coke and getting a quicker high, and it spread like wildfire because it became highly addictive. And so it started in the inner city United States, and we travel everywhere. There's a Bahamian or a Caribbean influence in every one of these major inner cities from coast to coast, north to south, east to west in the United States. And because we are a transshipment point, the entire Caribbean, this culture was influenced by the local readiness for cocaine in the Bahamas and the influx of a number of American, especially tourists, coming here. And predominantly, we went from upper middle class to middle class to crackhead cocaine tourists coming here on package deals. That's one part of what I wanted to clear up. So dispel the misinformation spread by Joe Biden and his advisory ignorance. That did not happen like that. It did not, cannot originate in the Bahamas. And that is so
I understand what you're saying. I do understand how crack spread in the United States. And I didn't say that we started the crack epidemic, like we came up with crack. I'm just saying that that's what Biden was saying.
No, you didn't say that we came up with crack. But the tone and the direction that your show is going would leave others to believe that we started the Free Basin habit in the Bahamas and took it to the United States. Hell no.
But that's been studied, though.
Studied by who? I lived the epidemic.
Dr. David Allen.
Dr. David Allen is there, and I wish he's listening to me. Dr. David is a pretentious, out of touch, never lived in the inner city, know nothing, hear what he wants to hear, dispel once he wants to dispel. The act of free basin was brought to the Bahamas from inner city United States. And because we were a transshipment country, predominant, one of the predominant transshipment country, we had ready access to cocaine in the early, the mid to late 80s. We moved from the tooting, the injecting, to the free basin. It made it quicker, easier, a lot better to handle, because raw cocaine melts quickly. It is a product that you cannot freely move about like you want. However, crack gave them the advantage of increasing the yield and guaranteeing a customer base because of its highly addictive nature.
I just understand, okay? You don't need to be disparaging of Dr. David Allen, and you don't need to be pedantic with me. I fully understand the crack epidemic in the United States. It is disparaging when you call people out of touch and pretentious and all this like that. And you're now seeking to lecture us as if only you dealt with the cocaine epidemic in the Bahamas. Certainly you must not think that you're singular in having dealt with that. I dealt with it. I had an uncle, two uncles, who were greatly impacted by drugs. Okay? So you don't need to call us out of touch. And Dr. David Allen has helped thousands of people who've been impacted by drugs. All right? So, please, let's not disparage a man who's given a lifetime of service to helping understand Bahamian psychology and trauma. I appreciate it. But if your contention is the CIA started crack cocaine in the United States and the Bahamas had nothing to do with it, that's perfectly fine for you to contend that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. It's me again, right? I have the call back, right? It's the man trying to make David Allen look bad, right? David Allen is one of the people who helped me get off the, you know, David Allen helped me.
He helped thousands of people.
Thousands. And he knew the information what he collect, right? The information what he collect was from a bunch of people who used the stuff and knew where they started it. You understand?
I appreciate it.
You know what I mean? I don't want to know that these people, because there's a lot of people in this country who helped thousands of people get off of that stuff. You know what I mean? That didn't feel for him to try to talk to David Allen like that. And then they, what are you talking about for the start in the United States? Listen to me, man. I wish I could tell you the names of some of the people, but you can't call people name over the radio. You know what I mean?
I totally understand, but what I'm trying to help the caller says, this is not something I'm just pulling out of thin air, right? So a lot of people have studied this and have said that freebasing originated in the Bahamas. Now, whether the Colombians taught us freebasing is a different thing, but I don't need a lecture on what the CIA did.
They did that to do whatever they wanted to do, because they wanted to fund wars and different stuff, right? But that's not on them.
Yeah, agreed. All right. Well, I thank you very much. I'm not making it up. This is Googleable information. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, sir. Good day, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. You know, Mr. McCartney, I grew up in Auckland Street. That's right there, adjacent to Woods Alley, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you now, the introduction of crack cocaine that I know of came, and you remember the movie Live on Sunset Strip?
I do.
Right. That's when that thing became popular in the Bahamas. That, you know, the transaction didn't happen. Right then, that was looked on as something cool. You know, James never knew the effects of it, the addictive qualities of it. You see, and this black exploitation movies is many of our problems in this country. I mean, in the world. You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you.
Thank you very much. It says we did come up with crack. Did we? This says, we did come up with crack. Freebasing and crack are two different things. Crack cocaine was invented, created, started by Bahamians in Miami. I know this to be true as it led to one of my first indictments, the crack cocaine and Miami River cops gang. My brother and another two Bahamians were the founders. It says, I left IBM to serve as CFO of this organization. Crack was discovered on the campus and in the lab of Florida Memorial College, now university, with the assistance of my Indian chemistry professor. Shout out to Florida Memorial University. No, my brother went there. We became the largest crack cocaine gang in the history of the USA. The CIA came to us to learn the process. Then they took it to the West Coast. The public record reflects the same. All right. Well, this person says he was involved in it, so... This says, one, it's disturbing to know how experienced your callers have with the use of crack cocaine. Well, listen, again, I don't need lectures on it, but the fact remains that the impact of the drug culture in the Bahamas is still being felt heavily today. It says, great job as usual, Juan. We Bahamians don't even know who we are. To take the ancestry test, you would find the results. Your DNA came from Africa, Jewish, and more than likely Ireland, and the result would 100% say Bahamian. So who are we really? It says, great show as usual, Juan. Don't demonize me for this, please. Question, if you were to get $50 million because you found out that you were direct descendant from Columbus, but the only way you could get the money is the Statue of Columbus is still erected and the Queen is still the main monarch, will you still want the statue removed? In your fantasy, in your fantasy scenario? Sure, leave the statue up. I'll take the $50 million and shut up. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
Good show as usual, man. You know, one of something. You know, I never smoked dope in my life. Never crap, never molly, never do nothing. Dope in the inner city. Was a senior fellow for the senior. Grew up a lot of people. Spend my personal money with basketball. These people saw for my trade, junk, and everything. I know what's wrong then. You see, the dope trade was designed to not be able to do smoke coke and do foolishness now, but be able to experiment and do all kind of foolishness. Yeah, I'm right. We are losing the whole generations, 40 years, and people, hey, you repeat the price, no, people who are still come buy coke and smoke coke, and you fool this man. See, the fact of the matter has to be anybody, they ain't got no leaders, more than the followers, man. They can't think, they ain't gonna breathe, and they don't do no research. But I can tell you that, nothing has changed in this country until 2027. That's all I can say on that matter. And guess what? The whole system was based on. The whole country was based on.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say the entire country was based on. But, you know, again. Anyway. Y'all are acting like I just made this up. Like, I'm the one who made up, like, that Freemason took place in the Bahamas. I mean, at least we can be clear on that. I didn't even mean to get this deep down the rabbit hole with it today. It says, Juan, you see what you caused. You cause all the old crackheads to come out of the wood. No. This says, Juan, how did this turn into a drug show? I don't know, man. It is where we is. It says, I mean, is it bad that we started crack cocaine? I think it shows creativity and innovation. We changed the world. Says, Juan, I'm going with the man who was a part of it, not Mr. History Man. He's talking foolishness. This says, hello, McCartney. Can someone please tell me where I can find a cokehead in the Carmichael Road area? The Haitians charge too much to weed by art. I don't know. I don't. Is a cokehead, do they weed yards? Is that a thing? Like back in the day, you could get them, for a few dollars, you could get someone who was strung out to do some strange stuff, but I don't know if they're going to commit to, like, the whole yard cleaning, but maybe. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, Juan. Yeah, I don't think that person would probably do a really good job. But yes, as a recommendation, why not cut your own grass?
I got you. Exactly.
If it's way out better, you know, you buy a lawnmower for about $350, $400. You calculate, you cut your grass every week or 2 weeks, you will save plenty of money. But, you know...
Yeah, you don't need that much gas either.
No. But I just wanted to commend you, man. This is a good show, man.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate
it. You keep doing more shows like this, and so the people them could get education and learn by themselves, even though the show descend into talking about Free Basin in the 80s and all of that, right? But,
right.
You know, that's culture within itself, too, to a certain degree, but...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And... just a good thing. I really enjoy listening to it today because we ain't hear nothing about the usual stuff, the back and forth. And, you know, you open up certain discussions about, you know, past for colonialism, too.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I agree with you. When people get so caught up in the day-to-day news cycle that they forget there are larger issues at play.
Yeah, but see, watch this, right? See, and this is the unfortunate thing about it, you know, Juan, just like information. You know, you can find plenty of information about the Bahamas just casually, right up there by Fort Charlotte, where Ms. Curtis them get that little bookstore, you know. But, you know, the place closed, you can't go inside there.
Oh, it's closed now?
Yeah, because of the COVID restrictions.
Oh, okay, okay.
Thing. But I still sneaking around by the fort the other day, me and my son, because that's a good place to go wake out, you know, walk them 66 steps.
Yeah, I remember I talked about it like last year. They were trying to stop people from going working out up there, but they didn't. They stopped doing that.
No, but let the people them do because that's a nice environment. I take my son out there. We walk and get an exercise, and plus I teach him about a little bit of history. He could tell you how tall the water tower is, 216 feet above sea level.
Excellent.
126 feet. But what I'm trying to get across, culture, right? Culture deals with history, too. And that's what... us here as Bahamians and mostly people in a diasporic existence have to understand. And not just diasporic people from Africa, you know, because we are people who have Scottish descent, English descent from different places, you see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just good that you open up some discussions about this. And I hope maybe you do some more shows like this because you're really taking your thing to a higher level, you see.
Well, I want to. I want to do. In fact, they're going to talk about another specific issue, hopefully, this week.
Yeah, and that thing, that quick thing with that Columbus issue, right?
Mm.
That's a good thing for our politician friends. Have a referendum. But does everybody know the full history behind that? Like, who put the money up for that statue to be built, and how that statue end up on the steps there?
Yeah, that was done by Freed, a man of color who wanted to give a gift to Governor James Carmichael Smith, and they had the statue commissioned with their own money, and the British people in the assembly, the British oligarchy in the assembly, they didn't want it in Parliament Square, so they said, if you want the statue, go put it in your yard, and that's what he did.
But he did that, too, because they was threatening to break that up. And see, because the thing about it is, they gave him the money, right? They didn't know what he was going to do with that. They just was like, we give him some money because we want to make a contribution, because people get the wrong idea. Our descendants from Africa maybe was backward. They was intelligent people, you know.
Yes.
And a lot of the information I get from a book, Keith Eltinger write about the black diaspora to the Bahamas, you know. That's why I wish you should have him on the show, you know.
Where Keith, what's his name?
Africans was a part of a lot of fraternities and fraternal orders from way back in past centuries. But that's just some deeper stuff. But anyway, keep up the good work, man. I see them cold stem looking. That's all it do. They beat up the Dolphins them the other day.
Yeah, they're doing better. I'm happy. Yeah, Dolphins doing terribly, eh? Jeez.
Yeah, we get this one finished with, man. We can only just play out the season. They got some deep issues out there, man. It's unfortunate, but the keep real up the good issues. Work, man. You'll be safe, yeah.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your calling in. And we want to have a lot more of these conversations. If you ever read Van Sertima, he would tell you, you would read a lot about African culture. All right. It says Dr. Keith Tinker. Okay, good. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. McGodney.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you know, can I chime in? Listen, you know, everybody has family members who indulge in that foolishness, right? You know, and I noticed what it did to them. But, you know, some of these guys are millionaires now. You see what I'm saying? So the people pass, don't come. But what I really wanted to comment on was the culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
The culturism and the ism that it creates, especially here. So when you look at culture on a global scale, and you know history, culture is cosmopolitan unless it's basically like ancient culture from Africa and China, etc. Mostly unadulterated culture. When you look at modern cities today, most modern cities are cosmopolitan cities. Would you agree?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Most people haven't taken advantage of the multiplicity of cultures. We all learn from one another. Let me give you a quick example. The Israelites were captive in Egypt for a while, right? So during this process, it would be naive to don't think that they learned from the Egyptians. And it would be naive to believe that, like the last caller mentioned, we all have cultural exchanges, but we here haven't taken advantage of it because we have this inferiority complex, especially with our neighbors to the south, et cetera, and other Caribbean countries. We want to exclude ourselves. I heard at the beginning of the show you want to exclude ourselves from being a part of the Caribbean, right?
Right.
And I didn't know, well, I know you're a deep person, right? But I remember the article you read that spread the fear after the PLP won their first election, and you read an article that was in the paper. You remember that? About the fear of the blacks. You remember that?
Yeah.
You wrote something. You read something.
Yeah, the pre-independence article from the New York Times.
Yeah, bless up, dude.
Thank you, my brother. Let's say it's pronounced Van Sertima. Okay. I said Van Sertima, my bad. Good afternoon. But read it. So, it's good. I may not pronounce it correctly, but read it. It's good information. Good afternoon. Welcome to a listener to the show, put me onto it. A few years ago. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. My brother, how's it going?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Excellent.
And good afternoon to the nation. Just a few comments on the Columbus discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch all of it as my disclosure, but just as a general principle one, if we look throughout history and we begin to formulate national policy positions based upon certain flaws in individuals, I believe that if one does a deep dive into all of the characters who are being recognized, we would never even honor half of them, right?
Right.
And so I believe that we have to establish guiding principles if we're going to make real sense and make decisions that are in the public interest, best interest, that is, we have to understand that the principles that we are making these decisions on should be the contributions that were made and how those contributions trickle down and impacted positively or negatively the entire country or a movement or sparked a level of discourse that led to the upliftment of the people. I believe that if we begin to just pinpoint or we continue to simply pinpoint bad in people, there's enough bad going around, and even people who we believe are saints, that we would not even want to honor them if such bad came to light and was focused on. And finally, one, I believe that any decision relating to, and I've been expressing this for quite some time now, this particular point, any decision relating to national honors and all of these kinds of stuff, or in particular the conversation surrounding Christopher Columbus, I believe it ought to involve the Bahamian people. I believe that if we just keep that decision in the fold or in the privy of the policy directorate, I believe that's where we would have a major flaw, because any government that comes behind and sees differently can simply go to the parliament and make different laws. I believe that we have to come back to the Bahamian people, because that is where the sticking point will rest, and that is where we will experience the level of longevity, and we would stop the shifting of narratives as to what our history is really all about. I believe that we need a proper education program, a comprehensive one, and after that program, we allow the Bahamian people to make the decision on what they want to do as it relates to the whole significance of the statue of Christopher Columbus being placed at Government House or being removed, being repaired or being restored or not. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
Okay, my brother, that's a lot of to get into over one decision, but I just want someone to make the decision. Like someone, I guess, I want to say at the central bank said, hey, we're going to take we're going to take the queen off of the $100 bill, and we're going to put Arthur Anna there, right? And it happened. No referendum was required. We'll take one more call, and then we have to go to a break, and then I want to deal with my text messages. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, my brother?
Hey, I'm great, man. How goes it?
I am great.
Excellent.
Listen, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
When we, at least from my recollection, from my understanding, when they pick honorees, do some of those people really, really contributed to society, in particular, like the needs of people? Or are they just randomly people because of who you is and your status in the country? But have you, do you know that the majority of them have contributed?
Yeah, they often would say why they're being honored when they honor. They do say why they're being honored when they honor them. The way the process works, I believe people put forward names and the committee decides. I understand specifically what you're saying. Are you looking at people who really are making just on the ground contribution to those
right.
who are definitely in need? I got you.
Because Mr. Vaughn, between me and you, when I see some of the persons the time before that they honor, right? Some of these people never been in Bantan, they never been in Camp Road, they never been in the urban areas. They never been in these places, but they are still being honored. And I raised this point to someone a couple of weeks ago. You have two gentlemen, I think one of them passed away, Mr. Billy Roll in Freeport. Remember when they had the hurricane and you had, I think, Ricky Martin? What? They honor them?
Yeah, they
name
promised
something
to...
Name after them because, Vaughn, remember, those two gentlemen in particular I called, before the Defense Force went or did a rescue anybody, they went.
I got you, my brother. I appreciate you. Let's go to a break. Sorry, we blew through, but let's go through the break and come back with our text messages.
Motor Motors. They repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
CG Atlantic Agents, how may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited. Trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Bahamas Check Services Limited has been printing checks, business forms, and deposit books in the Bahamas for over 30 years. We are highly specialized in creating custom forms to suit any and all your business needs. If you need continuous forms, continuous invoices, invoice books, or purchase orders, we can provide them for you. Call 677-8720 or email checks@coralwave.com.
At Wendy's, our food is made to make you crave. Crave our pretzel BLT burger or Chipotle crunch for only $5 each. Our Chipotle crunch chicken sandwich is covered in crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Or bite into our pretzel BLT with fresh beef, cheddar cheese sauce, applewood smoked bacon, and smoky honey mustard sauce on a pretzel bun. Restrictions apply. Eat and earn reward members. Remember to scan or swipe to earn points. Wendy's, different inside and out.
You have a new text message from Scotia.
Scotiabank is adding text messaging to its communication channels to keep customers updated in quicker and safer ways. As of November 4th, Scotiabank will be using text messaging to provide notifications on the minimum payment required for your credit card and due dates. Customers may continue to access their credit card statements on Scotia Online or through our mobile banking app. Learn more by contacting customercare-bahamas@scotiabank.com or call 356-1697.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hello, I'm Jermaine Kemp, a patient care assistant at Sunland Rehabilitation Center. I am one of many standing proudly on the front line of healthcare during the global COVID-19 pandemic, and I am vaccinated. I made a decision to get the AstraZeneca vaccine after attending information session to learn more about it. I felt it was important to ensure that I did not spread the COVID-19 to my family, friends, and most importantly, my patients. My patients depend on me for their care, and I consider it a privilege to serve. I invite you to join me in keeping our clients, colleagues, and community safe by choosing to be vaccinated. We can do this, Bahamas. Together, we can beat COVID-19 one vaccination at a time.
This message has been brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution. I'm just going to deal with your text messages since we're running out of time. No more calls for today, but certainly if you want to call and comment on it at another occasion, feel free. This is one you should discuss, Sertima. Dr. Sertima's work on your show. I can. Now, just how this is passionate debate over how Freemason came about. His work is most famous work that came before Columbus. It's, you know, been disputed by Native American archaeologists and historians as well. It says, cultures evolve constantly by assimilating parts of other cultures and phasing out parts of their own. This evolution is necessary to exist as part of the global village. Gotcha. This says, being born in the Bahamas makes you a Bahamian. Junkanoo is not even ours. Junkanoo is held in places like Bermuda and Jamaica, etc. You need to bring historian and cultural advocate Christopher Davis on your show. Yeah, I know Christopher Davis. Certainly we could bring on Christopher to talk about some historical issues. It says, wow, Juan, you taught me something today, and here I was upset at Biden for saying crack came from the Bahamas. Thought he was losing his marbles. I stand corrected. I mean, well, anyway, let's not go back through that. Good afternoon, Juan. I think it's important for Bahamians, especially the older generation, to realize is that culture reflects how a people live presently. It's not sufficient or may not be accurate to talk about the good old days and the way we used to live. Most of what Bahamians believe is our culture is actually our history. Well, yeah, so again, like, for instance, culturally, cricket is the national sport. Like, I know I got cricket fan. I'm going to get the angry cricket people calling me. But how many people you know play cricket, like, recreationally? Like, kids on the corner are playing cricket. Like, come on. On to the texter who says we should remove Sir Stafford. We should also remove Pendling for the same reasons. No, man, Pendling. It says, can we set some basic criteria, some or all of which may apply? One, born to Bahamian citizens or naturalized. This is a must. Two, knowledge of Bahamian history, which must be taught in all local schools and to persons applying for citizenship. Three, basic level of fluency in Bahamian dialect. Okay. That's not bad. This says, good afternoon. I'm an eighth generation white Bahamian and have lived here all my life. I want to know why so many callers and texters seem to think that white Bahamians are irrelevant and shouldn't have no say and should have no say in Bahamian affairs. I'm probably more Bahamian than some of these callers. I'm with you, man. You're a Bahamian. You've been here for generations. You absolutely are part of our culture, and I want to hear from you. It says, Juan, tree bracing was invented by a chemist in Colombia who was in America, who brought it to America. We only used to sniff it. Some Bahamians went to New York and brought it here. That's how it got started here. Well, we got a bunch of different accounts on this. It says, good afternoon. What is culture? I do know that culture is more than Junkanoo. Culture is all of it, right? Culture is not just the celebrations and the festivities. Culture is our behavior. So culturally, Bahamians say good morning or good afternoon when they walk into a room, by and large, you know? They greet each other. They greet their own. That's a part of the culture. That's a part of our behavior. A lot of us as Bahamians. It says, LOL, Juan, we may have not invented grits, free basin, and baked macaroni, but we sure invented the CYC acronym. Yeah, we did. We did that. Could hang our hat on that. It says, good afternoon. I seriously question what level of culture we really have. As a simple example, the establishment of BAMSI was a big deal, but I'm shocked when I go into the food store and see all the limes and feel that BAMSI is very productive, but then find out limes come from South America and the bananas come from Haiti through Florida. There are lots of other examples which suggest a lack of culture. Yep. Do we have a culture of growing our own food? We used to. Afternoon, Juan, what about the licensing of the cars? Why do we have to pay for the year we miss? Boy, I don't know. I think it's nonsense. I want our culture goes back to the pirates in Columbus. So we're still discovering things and still call it our own. It says, hi, great topic. Since politics went dead, keep the drug trade talk alive. It will lead us to Norman's Key and the corruption of the RBPF and RBDF. There are a lot of new callers. Good afternoon, Juan. In the Bahamas, history is not stagnant, as some would have it to be. History is constantly evolving without losing its bearing. In history, I believe, will continue to be a plethora, an avalanche of likes and dislikes, bitter and sweet, pleasant and unpleasantness. Live we may, die we must. Glory be to God Almighty. Yeah, good point. It says, one, the real Rick Ross introduced crack through the CIA into black communities. We did not start crack, plus marijuana and Rasta was here before Bob Marley. It says, I think you just hit the head on the nail on the Bahamian culture, like to be mixed up in things. It says, aye, freebase may have happened here, but we were not the originators. It says, Dr. Keith Tinker, Dr. Grace Turner. It says, missionaries taught the Bahamians straw plaiting, right? You know, I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that one. It says, four of the 10 biggest dope kings of the late 80s and early 90s in Miami were Bahamians, and leaders of five of the most notorious gangs of that era was started or led by Bahamians. Remember the Miami judges and law enforcement personnel that got indicted years later? Two Bahamian lawyers represented the only judge that was found not guilty. He later went to the U.S. House of Representatives. By the way, white Bahamians were the originators of the cocaine trafficking through the Bahamas. It was glorified by black Bahamians when they discovered money. Big money. As I remember the first coke addict in my area as a child, he turned his life around and became a successful drug dealer. Okay. One, good show and it's only part one. A beginning, please continue this topic. Like Raymond Collin earlier, Bahamas got too mixed up as a young nation before teaching and establishing our people in a solid and sound way of who we are. I work at Fish Fry, and why should I hear or see more Haitian or Jamaican culture and music than Bahamians in the Bahamas? I'm very patriotic, and it's a new day and overdue to get it right. All righty. We're just about out of time. It says, the way we speak, when you speak, you could tell which island you're from. Here in Eleuthera, when you speak, you could tell which settlement you are from. Yeah, I certainly could pick out an Eleutheran accent out of a crowd. Okay, we got to go. Sorry I couldn't get to all your texts, but we're out of show. I don't want to cannibalize Lang's show. We are going to be talking about some different topics this week. And, you know, as I said, brace yourself. Some of it might get controversial. Some of it may be a bit heady for you. But I really have had some things on my mind that I wanted to share with you. And so that's what I plan on doing. So stay tuned. Until then, we'll be back tomorrow. Godspeed on life. And you guys have a great day, Bahamas.
Of Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Scotiabank, Burger King, Digital Transformation Unit, CG Atlantic, Bronze Electric Motors, Commonwealth Bank, Bahamas Check Services, and Wendy's.